There's one towards the goal. That's going to be blocked by Travis Ridgen.
Well, this is more like it.
This is Slang in the Biscuit. Here's Travis Ridgen and Dave Wheeler.
You ever noticed how Ray Romano and Kermit the Frog are the same person?
Hi, how you doing? I'm Ray Romano. I have a television show. Hi-ho, Kermit the Frog here. I also have a television show.
Can I make a quick Ice Age reference?
What?
Like, Sid the Sloth. Hey, guys.
Hey, guys. I think let's go over that mountain over there, guys.
I love when he's in the hot mud tub with the chick sloths, and they're like, oh, all the masculine ones get eaten. He's not very good looking. Oh, but I guess he'll do.
Very similar storyline in that one. Pretty sure he married a different species, didn't he? Same way as Donkey did in Shrek, married the dragon.
Who did Sid marry?
Well, Sid the Sloth, I was wrong on that one. He married Brooke, who is a British ground sloth, and she was a hot sloth as far as sloths go.
So he was doing pretty well for himself.
Yeah, so there you go. Even an ugly sloth finds a nut.
And he had a PhD, pimp and hose degree.
Happy Easter, everybody. He is risen.
Happy like Easter. Scott Stapp in With Arms Wide Open.
With arms wide open. No, that was a good Friday. He rose on the Sunday. That's the big celebration.
Yeah, it's going to be a little bit of a shorter episode. Same wicked intro that we always do, but my name is Travis Ridgen. I'm here in downtown Vancouver, not too far away from the Burrard Street Bridge. Actually, probably one of the most famous bridges in all of Canada, specifically here in the west end of Vancouver, where probably one out of every three people on the Vancouver seawall have an ugly dog. The other two out of three, yoga is their entire personality. And everybody drinks hot chai tea lattes, myself included. Welcome. Dave Wheeler's on the other end in downtown Winnipeg. He just nearly avoided getting the Winnipeg handshake this morning. Dave, how's it looking over there?
Man, I'm going to go shoot from the hip here and see if I can come up with as good of a intro for my city here in Winnipeg. His home to Portage and Maine, the coldest intersection in all of North America. We have a top contending team for the Stanley Cup playoffs this year in the Winnipeg Jets. And people, we actually, believe it or not, per capita have the most pets in the entire country. So we are a pet-loving province. Ugly or cute, doesn't matter. We got a lot of rescue dogs from up north. Actually, funny story for really quickly. We actually have so many that it's becoming a problem. There are so many strays now, and there's not enough shelters to house them that they're putting an official state of emergency call into the provincial government. And they're actually considering doing a pretty awful practice, which is called crulling. And so the idea is, and the first time I witnessed this is when I was out with a buddy of mine who lived on the res north of Fort McMurray, and we were out there for a weekend after a game. And my first time out there, I said, man, you got a lot of dogs out here, like just first time. And he goes, oh, yeah. And I said, this is all people's pets. He's like, no, these are strays. And I said, oh, man, what do you do with them? And he's like, well, if they get into a pack mentality, and that's the big fear, if they get into a pack mentality, they become very dangerous because they will hunt and eat together. And that means small dogs, small children are at risk, even some smaller humans. And so what they do is, he says, on the first Tuesday of every month, if you have a dog, you make sure it's either chained up in your yard or you have it in the house, because there is a group of people who will go around and they will shoot them. And then the next morning you see them going around in the daylight, throwing them all in the back of the truck, and they go and they dispose of them. But yeah, they become an actual danger to the community. And we're at that point now with some smaller communities where stray dogs are moving in. So yeah, we're state of emergency here as far as our pets.
You know what, actually up north in Cross Lake, I can't remember if it was Cross Lake or Norway House. This one girl I dated in Winnipeg, her dad was an RCMP officer up in the res. And same thing like what you mentioned with the dogs. He was doing a call one day, and I guess he was going through this dumpster looking for evidence, and he found three puppies. One of them was a beagle, took her back, and then gave it to his daughter. And that was the dog that her and I shared for the last little bit that we were together. So probably one of the best things to ever come from the res was that cute-ass beagle. Although my corgi, well, not my corgi, the corgi that I'm stepdaddying, he's the cutest dog ever.
Yeah, well, they always are, right? They always are.
Well, you were just giving me some tips before we started recording, too, because we're going to Calgary and Lake Louise. So her and I are going to be in Calgary and Lake Louise, my chick and I, this time, by the time the episode goes up. But Dave was giving me some advice because we're going to be doing some hikes up in Lake Louise. And he's a corgi, so he's got like legs that are like this big. And when I take him for walks, after about 5-10 minutes, he'll just like sit down and won't do anything. And Dave was like, you do this, you do that, you can get him moving. Then when I was talking to my chick, she's like, oh yeah, he'll do 5-10 kilometers, no problem. He's got some endurance. I'm like, oh, he lied to me. He just sat down. I had to pick him up like a purse and carry him around.
that dog was testing you, and the dog won. It's like, let's see how dumb this human is. I wonder if I can get out of this walk and see if he'll carry me like the princess I am. So, yeah, that dog, yeah, you're new now, so the dog wants to figure out where you are on the totem pole. Are you above or are you below?
Well, now I know.
Take some of that alpha energy you've been getting from all your cross-training and put it into practice with the dog. I'm not saying you have to be mean to the dog, but just remind the dog, I'm in charge around here.
Mr. Wielder, where are you going to be this time next week? You're going to be at the lake in Lake of the Woods, right?
I'm at the lake right now. As a matter of fact, I am at the lake probably getting ready to come back because I mentioned it last week in the show. I'm playing that pickup game with all my buddies at Canada Life Center where the Jets play. So I'll be lining up in front of that beautiful Jets logo in downtown Winnipeg.
I picture you in the high-end board at Lake of the Woods about to do a belly flop. Everybody, I need you to stop what you're doing and listen. I have some urgent news to deliver. I have the best radio show in the city. Cannonball!
Ron Burgundy at his finest, absolutely.
Sorry, are you going to go ahead, Dave?
I was going to cut you off from doing another movie line.
Okay. All right. No more movie lines.
All right, listen, I know we had a lot of questions that rolled in. Was this via your social media or the Patreon or a combination of the two?
Well, so this is going to be a Q&A episode. So David is going to be at a lake. I'm going to be in Calgary in Lake Louise with my chick. And we decided that we're not going to be able to record an episode in time to actually get it up for the week. So we're going to record a little bit earlier and answer your questions. I did one probably 5-6 weeks ago with Rob. I got some really, really good questions. This week is no different. This will be a little bit shorter of an episode, obviously. Somebody asked, give me the best story from your junior days. And this is one that comes up because this is one that Dave and I have talked about in person or in private before. When I was playing my second year of junior, before practice, one of the guys like, Trav, do you want to chew, like a little chewing tobacco? I'd never had a chew up in this point in time. And I said, yeah, sure. Why not? And oh boy, I was sliding all over the place for practice. It was a bad time because I took the biggest dipper I ever possibly could have, shoved it all in my mouth, and then, yeah, it's bad practice.
Yeah. The first time of almost anything has usually a good story attached to it. I was under the same mental state that you were after I had my first chew of chewing tobacco, and it ended up being a 30-year long addiction. So yeah, thinking back to that first one, I enjoyed it a lot more than the last one.
To all the kids listening, don't start chewing. It's expensive.
Don't.
And it's bad for you
and really hard to quit.
I've noticed this. I don't know if you have as well, Dave. I feel like in the hockey realm, guys are going away from chew and they're going to Zins. Like everybody's like Zin and Zin, 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 left, right, and center.
Yeah, look, and here's the thing. If you don't know what these Zins are, if you're familiar with chewing tobacco, you can get it in loose leaf. You can get it in fine grind. You can get it in the packets where it's more of the big leaf, or you can get it in little bandits, which are like basically little tiny little tea bags, like about a third of the size of a tea bag. And they would pack it full of tobacco and you put it in there and it wouldn't make a mess in your mouth as much. But these Zins are essentially the same thing. It's that little tea bag, but they've actually managed to extract just the nicotine. So it's not the cancer-causing tobacco or any of the other carcinogens. It's just the nicotine. And I haven't done enough research. The nicotine is just as addictive, but it's not nearly as harmful on the initial reading that I've been doing. But I have to do a lot more. But yeah, from everything, the initial reports I'm reading saying, this is a great alternative. Still addictive, but not nearly as harmful.
Well, at least that's some good news, no?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, look, I know you know of guys, and you're one of these guys who will have coffee before you go out and play because you want that stimulant. You want that caffeine in your system. Nicotine's no different. People have different ways of doing it. I came from a generation where guys were popping ephedrine before every period. Got some guys like Red Bull or the Rockstars or whatever it may be. If you can stimulate yourself to play better and have a better muscle twitch and get that extra edge, why wouldn't you? Especially if it's inside of the parameters of the rules of the game you're playing.
And my boy Sweens about a month ago tell me, hey, you know, I know you have 4 to 5 cups of coffee a day. I think you have a problem. And I said, I don't have a problem. I can quit any time. He said, do it. It's like, shit. All right. I went a week, not a single cup of coffee, no caffeine. And it was awful.
Terrible.
There was not a single benefit to living life decaffeinated compared to caffeinated. So that was my observations on that.
It's an addiction, and what you're going through is withdrawals, and that's like any other. They actually say that quitting the nicotine addiction is harder than kicking a heroin addiction. I don't want to try the latter, but I can tell you on the former, it's extremely hard. It's at least, for me, it's a 72-hour period. If I do it cold turkey, and I've done it numerous times in my life, it is basically the best way I can describe it is that inner voice in your head goes, fine, you're not going to give me what I want. Here are all the deepest, darkest, worst thoughts you've ever had in your entire life all at once. You are going to be miserable, and you are going to be agitated, and you are going to be on a hair trigger for 72 hours, and it is a horrible feeling.
Speaking of heroin, have you heard those new Kurt Cobain AI covers? I think I sent you a couple the other day. Did you get a chance to listen to them?
Yeah, I've been to these for quite some time. They Tyler the Creator, who is an artist, I read a quote from him recently. They said, "Are you worried about AI and AI technology and writing these songs?" He goes, "AI will never catch up to the creativity level that I'm at." And I think humans will always have that edge. But it is, I'm trying to still figure out if it's blasphemous to write a new song by a dead artist and make it sound like them, or is it just giving the masses what they want, or not even the masses, people that are just that hard up for that their favorite artist to get that. I'm having a hard time discerning which it is.
It's honestly scary, though, because he's been dead for longer than I've been alive. He's been dead for, what, close to 35 years, 30 years by now?
1994.
April 8th of 94. Yeah, we're coming up on the anniversary of that. And the raspiness in his voice, all the tone pitches, everything is like to a T with this AI-generated cover. And it sounds good. Like, there was one of Aerosmith's Dream On. Hoobastank. Remember Hoobastank? What a name.
Yeah, of course.
The Reason.
Am I running away? Yeah, of course. Hoobastank. Not bad.
Got some great songs. But they did a Kirk-generated cover of The Reason. I did one of Life is a Highway by Rascal Flatts. Fill in Black Days by Soundgarden.
Do you like it?
I've been listening to them on repeat. I feel wrong for listening to them, but they're really good.
If you enjoy it, then good for you. I'm not going to tell you how to enjoy things.
I'm kind of surprised they haven't had like a Kurt documentary. I know we were talking about that in person the other day, or privately, I should say. But I'm waiting for the day they have an official like Kurt Cobain autobiography. Is autobiography the right word? Like a movie, kind of like Freddie Mercury.
I don't know if we're ever going to get one. We've had some independent documentaries that were done. We've had a couple of not very good biopics done by independent directors on very small budgets. And I don't know. I think it's going to have to be another 10, 15 years until we see someone like at a Baz Luhrmann level take a crack at it the way he did with Elvis, because that was an incredibly directed film. And Austin Butler was mind-blowingly good. Yeah.
It was such a good film. I wonder if you need Courtney to die, because I think she has the rights to that. Like, she's the one who's saying no to everything. Like, I remember Guitar Hero wanted to have like a Kurt Cobain Nirvana Guitar Hero, and she's like, nope, I don't want that. And she cut every single documentary of him ever that anybody ever wanted to produce. Like, I'll sue you. I'll sue these people. I'll sue them. So maybe you need her to die before you get an actual good film out of him.
Well, then it goes to the estate. Then it would go to Frances Bean, their daughter, and they would have to decide from there. So,
I think she hates Courtney. I think that they've had a little bit of a legal battle, a little tiff. So maybe she'd be on the other side. But I would watch it. I'd love to see a Kurt Cobain movie.
On with the question, sir. What do we got?
Here's a good question. Actually, this is a really good one. Ash asks, what is the hardest part of building a podcast from ground zero, also doing it being a hockey podcast?
You can answer that as well as I can. Because thinking conservatively, I've launched 30 different podcasts, and there's only a handful that lasted longer than a year or two. It's like anything else. It's the level of you need a little certain level of commitment. You need a certain level of know-how and expertise, and you need a little bit of luck as well. Because if you can catch the right algorithm on these platforms, then you can get yourself a nice little following. And there are some really talented people out there that have goose eggs when it comes to views on some of their podcasts and their content on YouTube. So it all depends. It all depends whose eye you can catch. And sometimes you just don't know. I mean, we've been very lucky on this show to find lightning in a bottle and be able to talk about some really cool stuff. But I think the success of this podcast is based heavily on the people that go over and watch the vlog and Travis's adventures traversing the world playing hockey. I think that's a really fascinating story. And I think you were really good to get on it quick. And you were one of the first ones to do that, especially when it came to playing in the lower levels of hockey. And the NHL has now caught on and doing a lot more content producing with their active players, not to the same extent, but you'll get a lot of vlogs and whatnot behind the scenes look. The Road to the Winter Classic is a good one. But Trav was really, you were really early, man. I give you credit. You were on it and you were doing stuff, years ago. And like you said, the pandemic was what kind of, inspired you to do this podcast. And I think that's a huge success with it. So it all came down to being there at the right time for you, Trav, and putting the hard work in.
It's interesting you mentioned other guys getting like close to goose eggs. Like, you have podcasts with actual NHL vets or NHL players that struggle to get views. Maybe they get some views and they don't for a bit. And we've been very fortunate. Like us, with Wheeler and I doing the show for the last almost 2 years, we've been very consistently getting multiple thousands, sometimes 10, 20,000 views an episode. So we've been very, very, very fortunate. I always knew like the podcast was only going to go as far internally as the vlog would go. So like the vlog goes a certain way and then people come there from the vlog to the podcast. But the real hard part, I think, has been trying to build the podcast independently. So like making the Instagram, Sling the Biscuit page, the TikTok page, posting clips and posting them in a way where you see a 5 to 15 second clip, are interested, I invoke an action or emotion out of you and you say, okay, I'll watch the full length show, and then to actually like it and stick around. It's very difficult, especially you give me 8 seconds of your time. Now please give me 45 minutes. And there's no algorithm behind an Apple or Spotify. Like people have to very purposefully do that to go and watch. It's been very difficult. And then like Dave mentioned, the YouTube algorithm, when you're riding it, life's great. And when you're not, you're struggling and you're swimming upstream. So I'd say that's probably the hardest part in trying to balancing the, okay, we had a good episode. All right, let's not get too high on ourselves. Oh, we had a bad episode. Let's not get too low on ourselves and just continue to consistently work up and get the viewership up and build an audience. Because it doesn't matter how much a sponsor's willing to pay for an ad read. It doesn't matter, you know, how high quality the camera is, the audio. At the end of the day, the viewers and the actual listeners of the show work to make it tick, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Next question. Hope that answers it for you.
What's the funniest shit talking you ever heard? Shannon, on the ice specifically. I can think of one, but I'm curious what you got, Dave.
Best chirp I ever heard was there was a ref that his name was Phil Marr, and very, very high pitched voice. Hey, two for all boy over here. And boy, we bugged him relentlessly for it. And there was times we'd get him in a mood, and he was really screwing us. And he was a hometown referee too. Like he refed our home games on when we were in town. And this one time, he was in a mood, and it was just a parade to the penalty box. And I came off the ice and after a penalty kill, and I'm next to go out, and he blows it in. Whoosh, on the blue line, puts his hand down, calls in the play. And I leaned over, and I said, hey, Mar, I said, can I get a penalty for thinking? He looks at me, he says, what? And I said, can I get a penalty for thinking? I mean, you're sending everyone else, but can I get a penalty for thinking? And he goes, no. And I said, thank God, because I think you're f***ing terrible tonight.
That's good. That's going to beat mine. That's really good, actually.
He smirked a little bit and just put his head down, but I made sure I minded my P's and Q's for the rest of the game after that one. So that was not the best. Maybe that was not the best one I ever heard. I did hear some good ones. That's the best one that I've ever thrown out.
I'm trying to think of ones that I've heard. I haven't heard many good ones towards me because they're always usually, hey, nice videos. Hey, your podcast sucks. Hey, are you going to post this?
Right.
Of course, of course.
That's all I know about you. Of course.
I don't really get any insults, to be honest with you. I think the best one I've heard that I actually kind of like, if we're going to use like a scale that I actually laughed my ass off about, was there's a Fed team that I was playing for. I'm not going to say which team. If you're a Patreon member, you'll know exactly which team I'm talking about. And one of the players from the other team comes up to me and said, it was along the lines of, the other goalie, are they giving him a night off to go continue to talk to more girls in the team's, like in the town's high school? Because he was known for like talking to like other high school girls while he's a grown adult. And I thought about that. It clicked in my head in about a second. And I thought, ha, it's kind of funny. I thought it was creative. Give him the night off, Ridgie, eh? They're going to go let him go poach the high school, huh?
I'll be honest with you. The bar has been raised quite a bit ever since Letterkenny and Shoresy came out. Like the chirp level on that one, I know it's all scripted, but it has really inspired guys from what I've seen. When you hear hot mic moments, like they're getting a lot more creative out there. I've heard some good ones in my day, but they're getting very well crafted.
I think the one that Diamond Hands Amesbury posted the other day, he was mic'd up some warm-ups and he was talking, I think, Sean Allen. He's a former All-Star from over in the UK. And he was calling out Sean on warm-ups. He's like, hey, you better step up, buddy. You better step up. And if it's not you, it's going to be somebody else. And then he gets in Sean's face and is like, I'm going to make you wish you went back to the UK and you never left. You never left that cesspool.
That's heavy. That's heavy. I like that.
He means it. You can tell from the tone in his voice. He is not holding anything back.
I've got a whole bunch of them going through my head. That part of my brain has been accessed, and now I'm going through the Rolodex. There's some good ones there, so maybe we'll pull some out in a later episode. What else you got?
Rhino asked, his actual username, @Rhino, will there ever be a three-way show with Trav, Wheeler, and Rob?
I've suggested it. I think it would be great. I would love it. I would especially like it. I'll be honest with you. I'd like to have Rob in, especially if he's going to be... I'm not... It would, It would make more sense to do it around Christmas time. I'd love to have him on in that time for the World Juniors, because I mean, he's a former World Junior guy, so I'd like to get kind of his take on the behind the scenes of what it's like, you know, being hauled over the other part of the world and playing with guys that you played against throughout the season. It's, I would love to get an insight on that.
Well, then at least I won't be the best looking guy on the podcast anymore. Sorry, I had to mention that.
Listen, my wife says that you are a very well-groomed, very well-chiseled human being. So take that as a compliment.
Aw, thank you very much, Candace. She's awesome. By the way, we got to get her new sweater up, the merchandising sweater. She's going to love that. The Sling the Biscuit sweater, kind of like this one. This is the old version. There's like a new version now, but she'll model it quite nicely. I'm sure she will.
I will make sure of it.
Tim asks, anything you would have changed in your experience in Sweden? This is actually a great question. And this is kind of piggybacks off something Dave and I talked about last week. The open-mindedness is so critical for stuff like this. Because if you've been playing junior in Canada and the U.S., you're basically in the North American pool. And then all of a sudden you're presented with this opportunity to go to Sweden, Norway, Finland, Spain, France, Germany. It's scary, right? Like you're leaving your family. You're leaving everything you know. You're leaving a lifestyle to a place where you're 7,000 kilometers away from home. Maybe less, a little more, depending on whereabouts in the continent. It's a different style of game, different rink, different time zone. You're not talking to your family all hours a day, right? You wake up first 4 or 5 hours of the day, they're still sleeping, so you're kind of on your own. To be open-minded and willing to accept that is a huge part, and I wish I would have done that sooner. I definitely did it towards the end, but if I would have done that from the beginning, I think I would have been even more successful than I was, because I do consider my time in Sweden very successful, all things considered.
Well, good, and I'm happy to see that, and I hope you exercise those thoughts when you get to Spain.
I do too. Speaking of exercise, well, we need to take a quick commercial break. Now, this is an interesting one. So Sheath Underwear is the presenting sponsor for the show. They have been since day one. Every episode for the last 2 years that Dave and I have been doing the show, our contract has come to a conclusion with the team at Sheath Underwear, and Sheath will be parting from the podcast moving forward. And instead of doing an ad read, I figured I just wanted to say thank you so much to Robert, the owner, the founder of Sheath, for believing in the show, for supporting the show, especially the beginning when me and Dave first started and nobody else sponsorship-wise would believe in the show. So to Robert, thank you. To all the listeners that have bought in Sheath Underwear over the years, over the last 2 years, thank you. And Sheath will be very missed. And to the people that have bought in Sheath Underwear, I'm sure you haven't been disappointed, because I have not. It's been the best pair of underwear I've ever owned, Dave as well. And if you want to pick up Sheath Underwear one more time, like Daft Punk, the code is BIZKIT69, BIZKIT69, SheathUnderwear.com. There's a link in the description. And thanks, Sheath, for an unreal ride, an amazing time, and the last 2 years.
Thank you, Robert. I'll be honest with you, as a guy who whose baby makers don't work anymore, they are in retirement, those Sheath Underwear are the best retirement I ever could have gave them.
Your baby makers.
Well, it's chemically impossible now.
I bet my mom is going to be listening on a Monday. She's going to be laughing at that. My mom listens every Monday.
God love her.
Back to the questions. This is a really good question. And actually, this is something that Dave has been grilling me on for the last little bit. Slim asks, Trav, why have you been so keen on dating? You always seem like you got a new woman. Dave, you want to partially answer that one?
You want me to answer that? Travis is trying to find the love of his life, and sometimes you got to slay a few dragons to get to your princess. You know what I mean? You can't just settle for the first girl you find pretty. You got to get to know who they are. And I actually gave Travis a bit of advice, and he took me up on it. This trip that you're currently on, as this episode is airing, is kind of one of those. All right, we're getting along. Let's see how we do on the next level of this, and let's see on the next level. So I think what you guys are doing is great, and yeah. Sometimes I always think back to some of the girls I dated before I met my wife, and I go, yeah, I landed with the right girl.
You tell the story of the Upper Decker you left at that one chick's place.
You put me in trouble. You're going to get me in trouble. All right. Girl broke my heart, and she broke my heart in a very awful, tragic way.
Were you living together or no?
No, but We were over enough. Like we rarely spent a night apart, but she had a son from another relationship who also made it even harder. It was a very Jerry Maguire situation, and I said, Kate, I'm gonna go clean my stuff out of your apartment, and I'll just slide the key underneath the door when I'm done. And so she was at work, and so while I was there, the tumby was grumbly, and I thought I got to get the last word in here. So I popped open the top of her toilet, and luckily, I'm tall, and took a shower when I was done, and popped that top back on, and giggled about it every time I flushed my toilet, going, That will take her months to find out why it stinks. Terrible, I know. Petty, I know. But hilarious.
So, Candace, if you're watching, you know what to expect.
Oh, no. Her and I are going to get buried next to each other. Trust me.
Ugh. That's the first. I'm crying on the podcast for the first time. Listen to that one. That was good. I'm just picturing some dumb blonde bimbo. Oh, why does it stink? It takes 3 months to figure out, oh, Dave's shit in the upper bowl.
Listen, she was blonde. She was not a bimbo. Very smart girl. I give her a lot of credit. She just wasn't ready.
For the upper decker?
She wasn't ready for that. Ain't nobody ready for that. I almost felt bad for the kid, too. A little bit, but whatever.
Knock on wood, I haven't had a chick do anything crazy to me post-breakup. I don't think so. I haven't had like a vehicle keyed or an upper decker left or anything like that. I don't think so. Not that I can think of.
Knock on wood, sir.
But Dave's point being, though, is that taking a trip with the chick is a great idea to find out if things are going to work. So I figured, let's take a trip. This will be great. I can also do that business endeavor I had of documenting the Grand Railway hotels and taking her on a nice trip. And it definitely beats moving in with a chick after 3 weeks of knowing her.
It absolutely does. And it's a lot more cost effective, too. What else we got?
Jay-Z asks.
Jay-Z? Like the Hove, is that you, baby? Let's go.
This is almost as good as the time Fred Durst commented on my Instagram one time with a lightning bolt and a rock and roll fingers emoji.
Nice. God love them. They opened and closed their show with Break Stuff last week.
Oh, my God. We don't have enough time to talk about how awesome Limp Bizkit is, but man, it never gets old. Also, the Santa Claus beard and the tracksuit, I can kind of get used to that.
Dad vibes, man. That new record's actually pretty good. What's Jay got to say?
So Jay-Z, J.Z, says, do you regret playing in the Fed? I don't believe in having regrets and stuff like that because it's a learning experience. Whether we're talking about doing this podcast, going to play in the Fed, I learned a lot about myself. I learned a lot about the others at the game of the professional hockey, the business as well in the process. And to be honest, I wouldn't change that. I'm very happy for the things that I've learned. It's maybe become more of a man faster than if maybe I played in Europe. So no, I do not regret playing the Fed. I'm actually very happy that it happened.
Good. Yeah, as you should be, man. Everything's an experience. I mean, just like I don't regret dating that girl. Taught me a lot about myself and the things that I do and don't want in a relationship. No different than what you want for your hockey career. And learning and getting to meet a bunch of guys and having great stories and being able to share them on your vlog and on this podcast. Yeah, I don't think you need to regret that for a second. I think it was a great choice.
I mean, like making friends along the way too. Like a guy like, let's say, Tate Leeson in Watertown this year, a guy who I sat beside in a locker room, I would consider a close personal friend. You get a text from him out of the blue, like, oh my God, like our relationship actually meant something. You hit me up out of nowhere and you're still thinking of me. You're my captain in Watertown, Dustin Hennon, the guy sent me a Happy New Year's, hope all is well message out of the blue, personalized message, which I appreciate. Or Big Sexy, Elias Thompson, sent me a nice little message the other day, appreciating what we had to say about him on the show and our friendship. So stuff like that, I think are things that I absolutely do not regret. Like those are the types of relationships and the moments that make it all worth it, even with the ups and the downs of the business side and other things. So no, look for an opportunity to grow in every situation, right? There's not a situation on this planet where you can't take positives and challenges, not positives and negatives, and grow from it.
I watched an interview with, it wasn't really an interview. It was more just like a sit down and chat. It was 2 hours long. It was with Tucker Carlson and Chris Cuomo, who are from completely different opposite sides of the political spectrum in the United States. One and both of them were fired from their respective channels, Tucker from Fox and Chris Cuomo from CNN for varying reasons. But it was interesting because they got to the latter half of the chat and they just started talking about, like if you go back and do it over and the firings and whatnot and all these things. And they both kind of said, no, like, you know what? I haven't learned a thing. Laying on a hammock in Italy with a glass of wine in my hand, I didn't learn anything from that. It was nice, but I didn't learn anything. It's when you're in the weeds and it's when you're going through those experiences. That's where you're doing your life learning and you come out better. Jocko always says it on Rogan's podcast. It's going to be hard. Good. We'll take something from it.
Oh, Jocko is the man. I don't know how personal you want to get into the side of things, but there's moments in life, and I'm sure you can attest to this as well, Dave, when you're forced into a situation where you have no choice, you're stuck in it, this is how it's going to be, this is uncomfortable, this is not fun, it's usually those situations where you have the most growth, right? So for example, if I went up to Dave and said, listen, I got a gun to your head, make $1 million the next month or your kids are going to get it. Obviously, I would never do that, but Dave is going to find a way to make $1 million this month. I guarantee it. And those types of situations are so good for growth because you learn about yourself, whether you're talking about personal relationships and dating, business, professional hockey, all that stuff. You're going to learn every single time. So no regrets.
That's a very Fight Club way of inspiring people, but I understand where you're going with it. I got it.
Right? Like the motivation is high enough for you to fix the situation. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. In that specific circumstances.
Yep. I agree. All right. A couple more, and then I want to go back to my my Easter.
The Beauty asks, career goals by 30? Question mark.
Well, I've no, because I'm 44. can I take a guess? Can I take a guess on your behalf?
Sure.
I think that you would like to get to a point where you are a starting goaltender comfortably in a league where you kind of feel like, okay, I'm going to be here for 2 or 3 years and I'm okay with that. And have it be at a level that is equivalent to somewhere in the world, equivalent to or better than what the East Coast Hockey League is.
I think it's a little bit of a stretch. I definitely want to become a starting goalie and have a stable environment, knowing that I'm the man, I'm the guy, this is where I'm going to be, and then kind of get settled, get a little bit more comfortable. Definitely not the East Coast. I think the East Coast is out of range. If it could be fed, possibly even SP equivalent, that would be the goal. But I think ultimately the goal is, because I only have a certain shelf life, right? Like my surgically repaired hip is great, but the other one's going to go as well. And then the rest of my body, like I'm starting to have ankle issues because I'm getting older. I'm 27, right? Goalies have a lesser shelf life than players. But that's all going to come to an end.
Unless you're Jonathan Quick. Boom.
That guy's a mutant. But,
Marc-Andre Fleury. Boom. There's a handful of them.
They're the outliers, though, right? Like most guys don't last past 30. Most guys break down before they get a chance to go on their own terms, right? And I'm probably going to fall in that category as well, not on the outliers, but in the middle of the bell curve. And so if I can hit those goals by 30, 32, that'd be great. I think also if I could financially be set by the time I retire, because I've been very fortunate to have the success that I have had even still currently on YouTube and then with this podcast as well, and then the pro hockey money as well, and I can take that and venture that into something else post-retirement. Because I think the biggest worry that I have is seeing how all the guys that I played with in the Fed live, where they don't have any money, they're broke, paydays are on Thursday, and when Tuesday or Wednesday rolls around, they're asking, hey man, can I borrow $50 for groceries? Can I borrow $100 for weed? Like, I don't want to be that guy. Right? Like, I want to be financially set, I want to live comfortably and then transition to the next part of my life. And also, it's part of masculine achievement. Like, I don't think, you know, going to play hockey and being broke, taking bong rips 24/7 is successful. So if I can get to a comfortable position, probably by 30 would be awesome. I think I'd be okay with whatever happens after that point in my career and then transitioning.
Good for you. Those are good goals. I like that.
What do you think of that? Do you have any bones to pick with that?
No, not at all, man. Listen, I think you have to set goals. I think you have to set goals daily. I think you have to set goals weekly. And you've got 2.5 years here before you hit that 30 milestone. And good for you, man. Listen, I still have things that I want to achieve before I turn 50. There's things that I want to do before I turn 45. I mean, it's always good to have goals. The second you stop setting goals, then you stop getting motivated. You got to motivate yourself before anyone else does.
Well, I've been working on that goal I set with you at New Year's for getting whiter teeth. I've been adding the white strips. I'm trying to get the broadest shoulders I possibly can, inspired by my boy Muzz, Matt Murray.
By the way, congratulations to Matt on the new place.
Yeah. I'll say that story for when him and I did the podcast this summer. Him and I were talking about doing that, and I'm very, very excited to hang out with him, to go golfing, to get stuck on the beach for about 6 hours, and he can chirp me about it. Actually, you know what? I should ask him about that on the show. What do you actually think? Let's break down all my shots and see what him being a pro at golfing thinks of my 6 hours spent on the beach.
As I've said before, you don't have to be good at something in order to enjoy it. Just go out and enjoy the day. If you don't hit it, pick it up and move it to Matt's ball. You're out there to spend time with your friend, right? Not in the trees whacking and hacking like an asshole.
Like, we only miss each other playing AAA hockey against each other by 1 year, by the way. I don't know if I ever told you that. Yeah, we missed, because he's just born and raised in Thunder Bay, the Thunder Bay Kings. I'm in Winnipeg, obviously, Winnipeg Hawks. And we missed each other by a year. Obviously, him having the career that he's had and then me having the career that I've had. But we got a lot in common. I'm very excited to share that conversation. I got a feeling that'll be a good, like, 2.5 hour interview.
Both playing pro hockey, man. Look at it this way. Jonathan Quick and Corey Schneider were 1A and 1B coming out of college. And they both went on to the NHL. One was a lot more successful and still playing than the other one. The other one's doing TV commentary now on TSN. So, you know, like it's a shared experience. Doesn't matter where the outcome was. You had shared experience in there somewhere.
Or Andrew Raycroft and Tuukka Rask get traded from one another. And then fast forward 10 years, Andrew Raycroft's doing the play-by-play for Tuukka Rask in the Bruins.
Bingo. Exactly. You never know, man.
Next question we got here. This is actually a really good one because I know Dave mentioned this off the top of the show 2 weeks ago, but Dan Caradona, a personal friend of mine, says, what's your favorite mispronunciation of your last name by an announcer? Because did you ever watch the highlights from my one game of college hockey where the guy was basically having a stroke on the air trying to say my last name?
Rigdon.
It was worse for the college guy. He was Rigdon, and he went through about 10 different variations. I swear he sounded like a stroke mid-broadcast, and then the Breckenridge guy wasn't... It was a little bit better, but it's interesting. It's not that hard. Travis Ridgen.
Yeah, it's literally Ridge, exactly as... It's Ridge with an N at the end. Ridgen.
It's like the Ridge Waltz, but with an N. Yeah, same thing. It's exactly how it's spelled. It's not that hard. Just
no, well, listen, some people are very phonetically challenged, and that's okay.
Here's a good question. Ned asked this one. What's the most challenging setback in your career for Trav and Dave? I'm very curious for this one for you, Dave.
You go first. I've got a laundry list of them, so I'll go through my Rolodex while you're telling us about your hip.
I think the biggest setback has been this season. I think going in with expectations for Watertown, it absolutely shaping up not the way that I anticipated, and coming from a situation in Motor City where I thought it couldn't get much more worse or challenging, it did. That didn't work out. Go to Mississippi, and I know, you know, Wheeler and I had lots of talks very early on of, wow, like this is the setup that I always wanted. This is going to be perfect for me to thrive and to perform, to get games, to make money, and that lasted all of 11 or 12 days for reasons that, you know, we'll get into detail one day on that. But that was a big setback for, you know, coming back home beginning of December, no team, same situation as the year before, but that was because I had hip surgery, right? This is opposed to I'm unemployed, and then saying, okay, I'm blacklisted from the FPHL. Nobody will take me for reasons why I'll explain at a little later date. So what am I going to do? Well, what about Europe? Well, that's pretty damn hard when there's really no openings mid-season. At the beginning of the season, yeah, but mid-season, it's going to be tough. And then especially towards the end, it's hard, right? Then, okay, now the vlog has to go on. The podcast has to go on. How are we going to stay afloat? And all things considered, I think I've done a pretty good job of staying afloat with all things, like with the vlog and the podcast, and then continue to train and continue to do things that are going to benefit me next season for the start in Spain.
But again, coming out of it better.
Adversity builds character, and to be a good man, you have to be good at being a man. To be good at being a man, you have to go through shit, right? Batman, that killed his parents. That's why he's Batman, right? Tough shit builds character.
Remind me to tell you I'll tell it to you really quick. I read a really cool, interesting theory about Batman and the lore of the comics, and it's very dark, but follow me for a second. So if you're a fan and you understand of Bruce Wayne's trauma of his parents being shot outside of a theater in a back alley over some pearls and a purse, and young Bruce Wayne having to witness that and then growing up, the theory is that he never healed from that trauma. He ended up in Arkham Asylum as an adult because he just couldn't get over the trauma. And all of the people that he fights against, he's fighting in his head. And the, like, for instance, his doctor is Dr. Joe Kerr. His name is Joseph Kerr. But that's the guy, that's his main villain, right, is Joker. And then you've got Dr. Chill is the main HVAC guy at Arkham Asylum who always keeps his cell extra, extra cold. And that's the guy that he has to fight against. So all of these things, he's Batman in his head, but he's the one in the straitjacket in Arkham. It's really interesting.
You know, this is one thing I'll also mention too before you tell your side, Dave, is my kids one day are going to watch my YouTube videos and these types of things in the podcast as well. Hi, kids, by the way. And when they watch it and I say, okay, like, look, I went through some shit. This is the beginning when the shit started. This is me in the shit, and this is when I came out of the weeds. Right, so I actually have the video evidence of how I went through adversity, and to use that as a benchmark to teach them these things, it's so invaluable. Right, like if I was sitting here living a vegan lifestyle in my gated residential community with my white picket fence driving my Range Rover, nobody gives a shit. It's not relatable. But listen, I'm just like you. I'm not in the 1% of the 1%. I'm in the middle of the bell curve, sometimes a little bit less. Like most of the people watching this show, I go through shit. I go through adversity. Guess what? You get knocked down a couple times. You get punched in the face. Continue on, right? You're only done when you decide you're done. Nobody else decides that except for you. Dave, what's your story?
Mine's going to be really... It's going to sound messed up, but I want you to understand where my head is at on this one as far as setbacks, because I've worked very hard throughout my career, and despite the fact that I've been fired, that's just an occupational hazard when it comes to working in media. You're going to get fired at some point. So getting fired was not the big deal. And the things that I learned when I was off the air for 2 years and the podcast that I started and all the things that I learned through that and the experiences I had, I that would be an easy one to say getting fired, but everyone in radio has been fired.
We're talking about when you got canned from 92 City, right?
Yeah. But the actual, and truthfully, the only real setback, if you want to look at it this way, from an angle of trying to make it up to that next level of, you know, going to the United States and doing a major market like a New York or a Los Angeles or something like that, or even a Toronto or a Vancouver, the only thing that set me back from that was having a family. And that was a conscious decision that I made going, I have to say goodbye to that and make sure that I have a solid base at home. And I was very happy to do that, still understanding that I was going to be able to do what I love and get behind a microphone and create content and do all these amazing things. I just wasn't going to compete at a higher level. It's one of the reasons why I believe that I've been able to stay number one in Winnipeg for as long as I have, is because I've been here for so long. I'm 20 years. I'm a familiar voice, but it would be a lot different than going into a Vancouver where I would be a new voice and I would have to compete and work my way up and do all the things I did when I first started in Winnipeg. And so I had to make that decision going, you know what, it's more important to me in my life and the experiences I have in life is having children with my amazing wife and living that life. So as much as I set it up as it was a setback, it was a conscious decision. And it made me, and it's the best decision I ever made in my entire life, by the way. And I love both my boys. And I was okay. That, to me, was a more successful life rather than a successful career.
Are you talking about the actual setback of picking your family, or picking your family after you got fired from City? And then you had to, like, really cut back some options?
No. I'm talking about the conscious decision when we decided to have children. I had to say that I'm, like, as far as my career goes, as far as a setback for my career, it wasn't a setback in life, but it was a setback for my career. And I consciously made that decision knowing that I had to take that variable out of the equation.
Okay. That's awesome, though. Which of your boys do you like better of the two?
It depends on the day.
You know, I tell my mom the same thing. I ask my mom, who's your favorite kid, me or my sister? And she's like, I can't decide. I love both equally. And I say, well, listen, I got a favorite parent. It depends on when you ask me. I know you do too.
And listen, I love that answer. It's the same answer that I would give to people when they would say, I know the right answer is as long as it's healthy, but are you hoping for a boy or are you hoping for a girl? And I would say, honestly, I'm just hoping for black so I can walk away. My wife hated that joke. Hated that joke.
You know what? That one's just as funny as the first time you told it on episode 4 of season 2.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Oh, that's awesome. That's so dark, but that's so good.
All right, listen, I want to get back to my Easter here. Is there anything you want to wrap up with, or are we good to go back to eating chocolate and getting fat for next week?
Let's do a couple more questions here. Dan asks, what's the best and or worst place you traveled in your entire career for hockey or business?
Regina.
Saskatchewan. By the way, my mom saw the clip the other day when we were talking about Winnipeg versus Saskatoon. She still has no idea why you like Saskatoon.
Oh, I love that city. I love it. It's one of my favorites. So clean. Extremely clean.
But why else? Like, you like the South Saskatchewan or North Saskatchewan River?
Yeah, I mean, it's just north of the Capel Valley. There's some great golfing in that area. The pubs downtown are fantastic. When I was going down there, I was in my mid-20s, and a great university crowd, loved to party. Yeah, man, I enjoyed the city. Good buddy of mine still works there. Jeremy Dodge does the news on CTV.
What's the worst place you've been to?
Regina.
No, like worst like place, you like accommodation.
Regina.
Anywhere in Regina?
I stayed at Regina. I'm sticking with Regina.
Anywhere in the 306 area code.
Regina. It's just one city. It's 250,000 people. I'm not talking about the rest of the province.
Shout out to the entire population of Regina that listens to this show. You suck.
No, you don't suck. You as a human are probably lovely. I just don't like your city. That's okay.
I'm just trying to start some shit, Dave.
Listen, I've had enough of a rivalry with Regina over the years. We used to absolutely roast their morning show over there at the Wolf, 104.9 The Wolf. Me and my old co-host, Hal Anderson, made that morning show our little bitches and had a long-standing rivalry every time the Bombers would play the Riders. Oh, yeah. We pooned them, as the old millennials would say.
You would call them up and shit-talk them, or what would you do?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Listen, legendary stuff. I won't bore you with the details. What about you? Worst place?
No, come on. God, I want to hear it. You got to tell us.
No. Listen, we're running late, man. I said I only wanted to do like 20, 30 minutes on the show. We're running out an hour here.
Okay, fine. Last question. To everybody else that submitted questions, thank you. They're awesome, but this is going to be the last one of the day. Mallory asked, she said, this is for my boy at home. She said, how do you maintain a positive attitude when always getting traded, cut, and or having setbacks or adversity, especially when you come into a new team as an outcast? Now, this is for her boy. I think
is your boy a goalie? Because you have to understand, if you're a goalie, you're going to be the odd man out every single time. Goalies are weird, and that's okay.
Yeah, you're definitely the odd duck. You're that special snowflake, that odd Cheeto, as one of my ex-girlfriends used to call me all the time. You weird, you special snowflake, you weird Cheeto. She used to call me that. But everybody's a professional at the professional level, right? Like when I'm in Watertown, okay, there's guys that played last year, there's guys that are brand new. We're all professionals. I'm not really an outcast. I'm just some dude showing up to work like everybody else, trying to help contribute to a team goal, right? All right, I got traded to Port Huron for 45 minutes. Hey, guys, I'm ready to – oh, you don't want me? Okay, I'm going to Mississippi. Go to Mississippi. Hey, guys, I know you've all been here. I'm the new guy. Nice to meet you. Shake hand. Good firm handshake. Look the man in the eye. Hey, I'm here to help everybody. You just be professional. As far as adversity and the positive mindset, you get to choose and pick your emotions. I could be upset. Dave, I'm going to quote Dave because this is exactly what Dave said in the show a couple months ago. I could be like, miss my old team. That's not going to help us, right? I'm looking forward to my new team. I'm looking forward to contributing. I'm happy to be here. If a team doesn't want me, honestly, I'll censor the language. I don't want to play for you if you don't want me. You do want me? Great. I'm the number one cheerleader. I'm the biggest advocate, and I can't wait to play for you.
She say how old the kid was?
No, she did not leave note of how old the kid was.
Okay. I left home when I was 15 to go play just outside of Edmonton, go to play AAA. And let me tell you, it's very similar to what Travis has told you on the professional level. Go in. These are guys on your team. They're on your team. You're working towards the same goal of winning a hockey game. So when you're in the locker room, you don't know anybody, keep all of the discussions just to hockey. Hey, is there anything out there that I could be doing better? Is there something that the coach likes during practice? You know, just keep it hockey. And the more you can get to know guys and hockey, eventually it'll come to, what else do you like? But you got to make sure that they know that you're there with a goal of winning. So, yeah, just go in and keep it hockey for the first little while.
Yeah, be a professional. Also, make the conscious decision to not be affected by things. Oh, this didn't go my way. I don't care. Like, that's a choice. And anybody that says that it's not a choice, no, that's a lie. You choose how you feel. You get to pick those emotions. So be professional in that sense. Two last things real quick before we go, because I know Dave wants to get back to his kids and his beautiful, stunning wife at the Lake of the Woods. Somebody asked, I don't have the name here, top three setups this season. Best setups in the NHL this season so far. Jordan Binnington with that red St. Louis Blues, that retro look. I love the white base gear. Andre Vasilevsky, the Nikolai Hobbyball throwback. When you're doing a tribute to the mid-2000s Bauer Supreme gear and the best Russian goalie of all time, I love it. Looked great. And then my Eskimo bro, Logan Thompson with the Bauer Reactor, Bauer RX setup, the Mika Kiprasov tribute. Loved it. Those are my three best setups this season. And then
love seeing what they do during the Winter Classic and the Heritage Classic and the outdoor games. They always get creative with their kits on that one. I like it.
You know, I found it interesting that in the mid-2000s, late 2000s, everybody would just go all white or like some form of like white, and they wouldn't do the retro. And for a while, I was saying, just do retro. It's cool. Now everybody does the brown, the retro. Now nobody does white, so it ebbs and flows. But I like doing different. I like doing what other people don't do. But that is the show for this week, this Q&A-supported episode. If you want to support the show further, you can join the Patreon page. $5 a month. It's going to get you all the untold stories from Watertown, Motor City, the deleted episodes that the league made me take down that now live on Patreon forever. And for $5, you're going to get my Collector Series trading cards, the 7-piece set. We're sold out of the 8th card now, so it's just a 7-piece set. And, yeah, you get all those amazing perks. $20 gets you merch, mugs, hats. Support the show. Dave, take us home.
Have a great Easter, everybody.